Oh, yeah. Speaking of, so we got a Cowboys fan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That explains
yeah.
your latent homosexuality. All right. And we've got a Jet fan, a Steelers fan, and a Giants fan here. Give me a prediction, win and loss for the season for the Cowboys.
The division's pretty weak. I think the Cowboys win it with like 10-6 record.
You are out of your fucking tits. 10 yeah. wins for the Cowboys?
I think they win 10. They got to play the Redskins and Eagles twice a year. I think they'll...
The Redskins aren't bad. They're not the team that they're yeah. not the doormat anymore. The Eagles yeah. I'll give you.
I mean, I feel like that division is anyone's to win. I think the winner is probably going to be a 10-win team, though. Just because usually one of those teams ends up pulling together somehow and winning it.
Okay.
And, I don't know, I like most of what I've seen in the offseason from the Cowboys. If Ezekiel Elliott can not get arrested.
That whole, and your second round draft pick getting fucking pinched for, what was it, pot?
Yeah. No, I thought he, oh, he got pinched for pot.
Right? I don't remember what it was.
I thought it was for a domestic incident, Elliott. Didn't he get...
That was Ezekiel Elliott, no, second round
pick. Oh. The linebacker.
Yeah.
It was just all of them, yeah. basically.
It's the Cowboys.
It is. It is.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah. I was surprised, though, that Jerry Jones did not want to give Manziel a reprieve.
Yeah.
Texas A&M boy.
I was surprised. I thought if anyone was going to give Manziel something, it was going to be the Cowboys. But I have more... As the years have gone by, I've gotten more faith in Romo to win a division, for sure. Maybe not to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
But to have a great regular season and lead the team and literally carry them on his back to get to 10 wins and get to the playoffs. I trust him more than any other quarterback in that division.
You're crazy. Now, yeah, I agree with you until you said in that division.
Well, I don't, Eli Manning, if you get to the playoffs, he can go on a hot run, but he'll have a 9-7 season, get a good run, and then he's back to 6-10 and lead the league in interceptions.
Wrong, because the offensive coordinator came in and changed that shit a few years ago. That's why. His picks have dropped down the last 3 years.
I think in a pinch, Eli's got a better 2-minute drill than any quarterback.
Not even close. Yeah, he's the best. He's a top 5 2-minute offense quarterback.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't have to think and he just goes full retard, he's okay. Like,
he does go full retard.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's just wired to beat the Patriots now.
That's it. All I want to say, beat those fucks. Fuck them. Funny story. I flew back. Where was I? I was wintering. wintering, and I had to fly through Miami, and it was the night before the second Giants-Patriots Super Bowl. So I'm ready to go. Like, I actually wore my fucking Eli jersey in the flight home. We get to TSA. Guy goes, "You're a Giants fan?" I'm like, "Why the fuck else am I wearing this?" And he's like, "Who else are you with?" I'm like, "Well, that's my wife." He goes, "Come with me." Cuts me to the front of the fucking line. He goes, "Hey, fuck the Patriots." I said, "You bet your fucking ass, fuck the Patriots. Fuck them."
Yeah.
Wait, where were you off to again?
I was coming from St. Kitts. I had to fly to Miami to fly home.
Oh, okay. I used to go to Vegas every year for the Super Bowl.
I go every year for 20s. Week one. I'm there in a few weeks.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Have you managed to tell a story about wintering and cutting the line and we all don't hate you?
White privilege!
Us have to white face our way through the line.
Fossil, your Jets. What are your thoughts?
I think they have a really brutal stretch the first half of the season.
Who do they have?
I don't remember off the top of my head. And they close out with two division rivals their last two games.
Yeah.
I think they finish out at home against the Bills and the Patriots. Week two, they have to play the first Thursday game. So they have 4 days of rest and they have to go to Buffalo. They're losing that fucking game. Like, there's no way. I hate Thursday football and I don't know what the stat is on that, but those away teams always get dicked over in that. I think the Jets are an 8-8 team. I think they were lucky to be 10-6. Fitzpatrick isn't that good. He got really lucky with he got a lot of big breaks last year. That offensive line is getting worse. Their right side of the line is awful. Like, it's just awful. DeBrickshaw Ferguson's out at left tackle, so that's kind of a question mark with the replacement there. Their front seven is really good, and their secondary is getting old. Revis can't be great forever. So I think 8-8 is as optimistic as
8-8. I'm looking at your schedule. You ready?
Yeah.
Opener. Home against the Bengals.
They can win that. Even
they
the
could
Bengals.
Win that.
Yeah.
At Buffalo.
They lose that.
At Chiefs, that's a loss.
The Chiefs are overrated, though, I think.
They don't lose in that building. They don't
Anything
lose in that building.
Anything can happen on any given Sunday.
Yeah, it's an away game in the West Coast, so yeah, they probably
ready?
Lose that game.
At Chiefs loss. Home against Seattle, 1 o'clock game. I don't think
they're
so.
They're losing. Well, no, their front seven. That Seattle's offensive line is like one of the worst defensive lines in the NFL.
Right.
That front seven, if they can get to Wilson, that's the thing. Is if they can get to any quarterback, they stay in it. That's the only way they can stay in is with that front seven.
And then it gets to this and this. At Pittsburgh.
They're getting their shit ruined.
At Arizona.
Losing that one.
Home against the Ravens, and then it gets easier. At the Browns, at the Dolphins, home against the Rams, and then home against the Patriots, home against the Colts, home at Niners, home Dolphins, at Patriots, home Bills.
You guys are fucked. This is a 5 or 6 win team I'm looking at.
like I said, that front seven is very dominant. I think it's underrated. They got younger at
linebacker. We lost Snacks Harrison right to the Giants, though. Woo!
Yeah, but we're still deep there. And secondary, after Revis, it's pretty bad. Buster Skeen didn't have a good season last year. But look, when you have Decker and Marshall, even with a shitty quarterback, like, they're big enough receivers that you get them close enough to the red zone, they're scoring. So
Marshall's having a great. He's having a renaissance, if you will.
Oh, renaissance! You like that? I like
he's
that.
Had a nice comeback after his in his Chicago days and Denver days. Actually, he's been.
Well, he was amazing in Denver. Then Cutler went, and he had to catch.
Then he went Cutler.
There went Cutler. Then he went to Miami, right? He got traded from there because he threw a shit fit.
Didn't he throw the fucking helmet in practice, or was it Denver?
I'd be pissed too if Tim Tebow was my fucking quarterback.
Yuck.
Then he went to Chicago, and along came Cutler again.
They were amazing together their first couple of seasons.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Marshall's always been because he had one bad season in like his last year in Chicago, and granted he was older, but he was also hurt that year. Healthy Marshall, he's a big enough dude that he's going to win those matchups against
Colts. Yeah, but the minute he stops taking his antidepressants, he's going to fucking walk off a fucking pier or something like that.
I'm a big fan of the guy because, like, this is someone that actually made himself a better guy after a really ugly domestic violence dispute.
Yeah, that's true.
And he actually owed up to it. He apologized, and he actually works towards, like, fighting those sort of things and having a better perspective.
Fighting those sort of things.
Choice of words
Yeah,
here.
Poor word, right? Yeah, poor choice of words. But
Teresa DeGatano.
I can't spit as much knowledge about Steelers as Fonsil just said. Very impressive.
That's a good breakdown.
That was a breakdown.
He studied up, I'll tell you that.
Let's go 11-5. Let's get excited. Well, let's make something happen.
Let's look and see
what we need. I've got my t-shirts all ready for this season. I've got my outfits picked out.
How are you telling me 11-5 when your running back is out for 3 games because of pot?
They still have Roethlisberger
still
and the
people.
Best
and Marcus Wheaton is terrible, and Martavis Bryant's out for the year because of also pot. So your receiving quarter.
Which is a big thing now, the pot thing. Didn't happen as much before. Did it ever happen before?
The pot thing? Oh, yeah. Goodell was always ruled with an iron fist on that shit.
So which is ridiculous because if you're on weed, it's going to actually, if you can do well on weed, then good on you.
It would slow you down.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's not going to,
There's a reason Ricky Williams isn't the NFL's leading rusher of all time.
I know, right? That happened. Because I had one fantasy football draft that they told us to pick ahead of time, and I did all the math, and I know how my buddies select. And I'm looking at Ricky Williams, like, I don't want to fucking take him. I don't trust him. 2 days before the draft, he's like, I'm retiring from the NFL, so I can just smoke weed 24/7. I'm like, thank God! Thank God I have to take him! Fuck yeah!
Yeah, I just wanted, here, take this cortisone shot, which is going to do long-term damage to your cartilage.
Yeah.
But you smoked weed, you piece of shit. Like, it's a relic of the baby boomer generation. Once the old people die, no one's going to give a shit once
they're
gone.
That's true, I think about that.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers at Washington. Could be a win.
I'm going to mop the fucking floor with them. Yeah.
The Steelers will mess stuff up too. Yeah. Well, you think they've got it, like, and then you're like, "What happened? Fourth quarter? Like, what happened?"
Home against the Bengals. At Philly, that's a win. Home against the Chiefs, that should be a win. Versus the Jets, that's a win. At Dolphins, probably.
Dolphins suck.
Yeah, I do. Home against the Patriots, that's a loss. At Baltimore, probably.
Who's the coach for the Dolphins? Is it Adam Gase?
Don
Shula.
It's the guy that quote unquote
Ray Finkel.
I believe it's Dan Wisenhunt.
Yeah, Ken Wisenhunt.
Wait, he came from the Steelers.
Yep. Ken Wisenhunt.
No, he was University.
Ken Wisenhunt.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Wait, who went? Dave Wannstedt.
Yeah,
that's the one
he's gone.
Right. There was somebody.
No, it is. Gason isn't he? Isn't he the Bears?
He was the Bears' quarterbacks for offensive coordinator.
Yes,
he allegedly fixed Cutler because Cutler sucked less dicks like last year. And now I think he's the head coach.
He's
a
big pushback color. All right. At Baltimore, home against the gay Dallas Cowboys. And at Cleveland, that's a win. At the Colts, I don't know about that. New York football Giants in Pittsburgh, if you believe. I might actually try and get out for that game. At Bills, at Bengals, home Ravens, and home Browns. You got some shitty teams in there.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think 10 wins is fair. I think 10 wins
Ravens
is fair.
Ravens games are close, even if the Ravens suck this year. They just play
Steelers,
so dirty.
Steelers, Ravens.
It's the dirtiest rivalry
ever.
What do you
say about the Ravens quarterback?
Flacco?
Yeah,
overrated.
He No, I think he is so cool under pressure. Like, just because watching him play the Steelers, he just all of a sudden, boom, boom. It's like he's just playing catch. Like, he just drives down the field. It's like, what? Just they just let him go.
I think when you play the Steelers, you just assume you're going to get dirty hit. Like, if you're playing the Steelers or Ravens, so. Because that team was just full of dirty players. Wasn't Harrison on that team?
Oh, yeah.
My favorite, one of my favorite just football players I ever watched was Hines Ward.
Yeah, no, he was right. Dirty.
Hines Ward. Georgia.
Hines Ward.
He was dirty as shit.
He was dirty, but like...
You know, and half Asian, go figure.
Yeah. It was weird that you like...
And ashamed of it.
Yeah, ashamed of it. But you never like saw him outwardly be dirty, but it was one of those like you hear every player in the league votes and he's the dirtiest player, and then you're like, wait, what? Really? I gotta watch a little closer, I guess.
But I like Heath Miller a lot. I like I like him.
Who?
Heath Miller.
He retired.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I like him. He's attractive.
Oh.
He's attractive.
Ben or Heath?
Well, I used to love Ben.
That's a big jersey comment right there. He's a cute player.
I used to like Ben until the situation.
No Antonio Brown? You know? Racist. Oh.
No. He's my nephew's favorite player.
She likes
player.
Half of Hines Ward.
He's my nephew's player. I like the big... Everyone's name is slipping me right now. I like the big...
Palomalu.
No. We have the same hair, kind of, when it gets...
He has a lot more hair.
He does. I like him a lot. Now I'm being a girl and rating who I think is the most attractive.
Randall Gay? No.
you ever think pro athletes with the last name Gay, like they became pro athletes because of their last name, just to overcompensate for that?
They just wanted
to... Because when they grew up, it was still okay to say the word.
The dad's like, look, you have to learn how to fight, all right? There's no way around that.
I've desperately wanted in the NBA for Rudy Gay and Kevin Love to end up on the same team.
Gay Love, Elliot!
Gay Love from downtown!
Yeah.
They would be like, they'd be at this straight face. You could see, but they'd be like sitting next to each other on the table going, Gay Love downtown.
Do you think
Gay Love to Jason Collins for the alley-oop?
Oh, Jason Collins.
Do you think announcers are ever suffer when they're doing like the instant replay play by play, and they're like, now you see the double penetration right there? And I have to wonder, do they ever laugh at themselves whenever they say that? Or is that like a generational thing?
Or maybe like if
a 12-year-old thing,
right? Or if Ray Rice came back in the league and he goes, "Well, he beat him like a rented mule." And shit.
That running back's a bruiser, so I call that for running back.
But what if Greg Hardy were a quarterback coming out of the shotgun?
Oh, nice. or Steve McNair, or Steve McNair, who got killed by someone with a shotgun. Or Ray Carew. Oh, no, or Fred Lane or Ray Carew. Yeah. Ray Carew, shotgun 5 spread right, motion Carew. Oh, boy. The New York Football Giants at Dallas, as we always do on opening day. Home against the Saints. The Saints suck on the road. I'll give that a win.
They don't come marching in.
They don't.
Sorry, guys.
Tiante, those song lyrics, loves the
Giants.
Home against the Skins, I like that. At Minnesota, it's a trick game. At Green Bay, they always beat Green Bay, believe it or not.
No, the G-Men?
Yeah, they do. They own them.
Yeah, you're right.
They absolutely fucking own them.
Except for the one time they got shut out by Green Bay, I think.
How long ago was that?
3-4 years ago?
There you go. Yeah. 3 or 4 years
it was,
ago.
It was the last time, it was the last time they won the Super Bowl. I think, like, Green Bay ruined their shit, and then they just went on a monster run again. So, if they lose to Green Bay, good things happen for the Giants, I feel like.
No, they beat them in the regular season and the fucking postseason, so. Fuck you and your discount double check loving ass.
I love that commercial. He's going to make up with his brother who just won The Bachelorette.
Wait, what?
No one's been following. So Jordan Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Okay.
And they don't talk, apparently. And Jordan Rodgers just won The Bachelorette.
Why don't they talk?
There was a whole thing where they were like, they won't talk about why they don't talk.
Interesting.
But it was like, it became a big thing on The Bachelorette.
But if we just make shit up on this podcast right now and it catches social media, that makes it true. Right?
Yeah, How much would you want to beat the shit out of that obese ginger who yells, Rodgers! Discount double check! If you were saw in public, I'm like, hey, boom, one of those. He was in a movie, he was in Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. He was the cop, because I'm watching, I'm like, that's the motherfucker who yells discount double check. I'm like, fast forward.
I knew I wanted to punch that guy somewhere.
I mean, he has a punchable face.
Yeah.
He's just annoying as fuck.
That definitely does exist.
Right.
There are punchable
faces. There are five comics with a very punchable face. I will talk about that. Yeah. They've done nothing wrong, so they have a face that just went up, you know, boom.
Yeah. But does nothing make you feel better than when they turn out to be a douchebag and you're like, I knew it! Like, internally. I looked at him and I knew it!
After this podcast. Home against the Ravens. Home against the Ravens, and then home at the Rams in London. Home against the Eagles. Yeah. Home against the Bengals. Home against the Bears. Jesus Christ, what a stretch. At Cleveland, at Pittsburgh, home Dallas, home Lions, at Philly, at Washington.
If, which is always a fucking big with this team, they never come out of training camp healthy. If they come out healthy, and if Victor Cruz stops being a little fucking twat, they could be a 9-7, 10-16.
Yeah,
they can win division. Their defense has gotten so much better from all the offseason acquisitions.
I think anyone except the Eagles has a chance of winning that division.
I agree. Maybe
you're really high on Cousins. Then I don't know. I try not to take too much stock after last year from Cousins. I forget why. I feel
like me now.
I feel like they had a really favorable schedule, partly because they were in a joke of a division. They got worse at running back, right? They got rid of Morris, and they just have like a rookie.
Well, he's been done. He's been cooked. Who the fuck is? I have my first draft tomorrow.
Matt Jones. Right?
That's it. Yeah. He fumbles a lot. I had him last year. Fucker. Yeah. He fumbles a lot. Teresa. Yeah.
But no, the Redskins have a decent enough team to, I'd say, win in division, not to go deep.
Yeah. I don't think anyone is making a deep run.
No, well, hold on.
The Cowboys or Giants, I think, have a shot.
I think the Giants, just because of all their past karma, if they get in, like, well, now things are different.
Yeah. You always have a puncher's chance when you have a quarterback that can throw deep and has, like, an unstoppable receiver. Cowboys and Giants both have that. Like, there's Romo to Dez Bryant, and then you have Eli to OBJ. And if Eli can get a competent tight end to throw off to, that helps hugely.
They haven't had a tight end since fucking Mark Barbaro. You can say Jeremy Shockey, but he's a bitch.
Eli's made a lot of tight ends who are otherwise no names look really good when they're
Boss the Ballard.
Yeah, and then they suck dick the minute they leave the Giants.
But here's the thing, now that they took the rookie from Oklahoma, Sterling Shepard, who had the lowest percentage of drop passes in college football history. Yeah. He's their number two now.
Yeah.
And he's been looking great in preseason, so apparently, and in practice as well. So, and if Cruz comes back and he can be a three, like, holy shit, that's a nice trio right there.
I think being very dominant, and you kind of saw that last year with the Broncos, is that the Broncos' offense was horrible.
It was anemic.
But if you're beyond dominant in one area, in their case, their pass rush, their front seven was the best in football. Like, when the quarterback, like, Tom Brady got his shit ruined in that game, and they... Even though that O-line was terrible for the Pats, like, the Broncos did it again against the Panthers. They did it against everyone. I think if you have something really dominant like that, you have a legitimate shot to get, like...
More so on defense than offense.
Absolutely.
The Patriots were undefeated and the Giants beat them. I think they were, like, the 31st, like... I think
they had a better running game than a
pass. They were one of the worst defenses of all time.
The Giants defense?
No, the Patriots.
The Giants were just...
The Giants had the best pass rush that year and a really good running game.
Saw everyone's plays because they videotaped them.
Well, that was post Spygate was announced afterwards.
Yeah. And
apparently the cover up was really bad, which we found out during the Playgate.
Yeah.
It has, because they said Goodell destroyed files, like so much shit, like so much of that came out to the public. It would be like a goddamn mutiny.
Yeah, that's basically... Deflategate is just a makeup for what
it
happened.
It totally is. It's like OJ in the civil trial. Yeah. Or the Mendoza trial. Like, now you're going to jail for real.
That ESPN fucking article was an indictment. It was a very lengthy indictment. Not only... And the NFL looked worse than the Pats did. That was the best part. Everyone lost. It was amazing.
The only thing that would have made it worse is if Hillary Clinton was emailing it to everyone.
You were sitting on that fucking joke, ready to cue that. I saw your face. He was ready to jump in. Matt Barron had the face like he was ready to jump in double dutch and like trying to get that joke in there. Ready? Yeah, I did. I saw it.
You've seen me at open mics before, too, when you're like, I know Matt's waiting to say something.
Ready to fucking boom. Yeah. Tee the fuck off. So we're all pretty confident here. We're all thinking, with the exception of Fassel, that we've got a shot.
Yeah.
We've got a shot.
I said you have a puncher.
Yeah. I'm saying with the exception of you for the Jets, I meant.
Oh, yeah. I have no faith in the Jets.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's a rough watch.
And you know what will happen is they'll surprise me the first half of the season with that brutal schedule and give me this hope,
or
and then they will crush me.
Or they'll pull a 9-7 wild card, and the Jets and Cowboys do this. They both give you just enough hope to think maybe, and then lose.
Yeah, then the curb stomping to your heart happens.
It's like New York City men. I was waiting on that.
The Jets have a lot more, I'd say, like completely down, like 5-win season, but the Cowboys. it's every time they like get to the playoffs, and then it's like, all right, but they're gonna blow it somehow, and then they like beat a team, and it's like, oh, you know, if we just win one more, we're in the NFC Championship game. And then that's as soon as I think maybe I'm wrong about this year, that's when the interception in the fourth quarter happens.
I am optimistic about the Jets after this year, though. They only locked to Fitzpatrick for a year. I think they're in a good position to improve beyond this. That front seven is amazing core. They need to get younger at secondary, and if one of their quarterback like draft prospects like actually pans out, I think it's good to have depth in Petty and Hackenberg, because like getting a competent quarterback is really hard in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
it's a have or a have not league, and you can't bank on a first round overall unless it's a deep draft class. Like you're not getting a luck, and when you're perennially middling, we've never been last place. So we always get dicked out of a top 10 quarterback pick.
Got to trade up, bro, like the Giants did in 03.
You either trade up and you put all your hopes in one basket, or I think drafting for depth, because you can get a Russell Wilson type by drafting in the second and fourth round.
Yeah, you got to get lucky with that.
And I think we got bargains with Hackenberg and Petty, and I think if you give them time and kind of sit them, you can develop them. Definitely Hackenberg. He's got the skill. He's got the physical tools, and maybe they can rebuild him after Penn State. He was the top prospect coming out of high school, and then Penn State ruined him, but...
As Penn State is known to ruin a lot of people.
Yeah. Fuck you, Jerry.
Professionally and
that's
sexually.
That's not the worst way Penn State has ever ruined a life.
Yeah.
It's Christian Hackenberg's NFL prospects. Yeah. That's the worst thing Penn State's ever done to someone.
that sounds like an old joke.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, do you both do fantasy?
Yeah.
Okay. First draft tomorrow.
I'm really crazy on football. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned for my picks. I put them out every week. See how I do. Who was talking shit to me last year? Deepu Gill. He said, you know what the fuck you're talking about. I said, look at all my picks, asshole. I said, tell you what. I said, I put $500 right now. I said, I'll take the Broncos in the Super Bowl with the points. He's like, oh.
Oh, shit.
Wow,
really?
Took him.
Hit it. But he didn't take the money. He goes, pussied out.
Like, Broncos and who?
It was last year, Broncos Carolina. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, Carolina's going to smoke us at $500 right now.
I thought Carolina was going to win. I didn't think they would smoke
initially
them.
I did, and I changed my mind after I started reading all this shit. And the worst thing I fucking read was the Friday before the Super Bowl, Steve Smith was on Mad Dog Russo's show and said, they've already started making arrangements for the parade on Wednesday. I said,
fucking
the
dumbass.
Kiss of
it's
death.
Wow. Dumbass,
I was like, I already know what I'm better. I said, that
if
is
I, if I heard that, then I'd be like, they're not ready. They basically didn't... That's painful to hear, man. I really wanted the Panthers to win. I did not want...
Nah.
Is there anything better, though, than seeing a coach with Gatorade dumped on him watch as they blow it? When you see that happen, that's amazing. They dumped the Gatorade, and then they hit a Hail Mary, and he's like, well, now I'm just soaked in Gatorade, and I lost.
And free money. Oh, gambling, I miss you. We give a shit about baseball in this room. Anyone?
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan as I used to be, but I still follow it mostly for the Yankees and Nationals. Mm-hmm. So
why Nationals?
I watched them develop. Like I saw their process growing up. I'm actually a pretty big Bryce Harper fan ever since he blew that kiss to that pitcher. Like he got so much shit because he hit a home run in the minor leagues and blew a kiss to the pitcher, and they didn't tell the full story. It turned out that pitcher talked shit like the last at bat they had, and he just gave it back to him like kind. And all of a sudden, he was this punk ass like rebel. Kid doesn't drink or do drugs or womanize.
It's
like,
a clown question, bro.
Yeah, kid's a fucking Mormon and a Boy Scout. He just has a bit of a mouth.
Well, he won't be when he becomes a New York Yankee in 2.5 years. Yes. Let's go, baby.
I can't wait till we ruin him. So I'm excited.
Good.
Yeah, as a Yankee fan, I'm excited at what they did this season.
Oh,
smart moves.
Yes.
And they're already showing that they're fucking ridiculous. I went to go watch their games like just to watch the young guys, and it was amazing. Like, Judge is a fucking behemoth.
I went to the game last Saturday because it was the 96 reunion team. And I got
I was
all
at
fucked.
That. I was,
were you there?
I went to Moe's. I went to the Sunday.
Oh, I was there Saturday. That was the one thing I bought. Ticket I bought in advance. I'm like, I actually have to be here. Got a little dusty in section 230. Might as well tell you that. But Gina and all the boys came. I'm like, whoa, man, this Tino. It's like the old days again. But I was so Tyler Austin and Judge go back to back, and fucking Judge hits a mammoth home run off the big black glass in center field off the Mohegan Sports Bar glass. That was a fucking moonshot. I'm like, God damn.
And he did it again on Sunday.
And
he hit it the other way. Just nailed it. Like, it was no big deal. I don't even think he got that much, like, enough on there, but he's so fucking strong.
Yeah.
That's retard strength, if there ever was. It's insane.
Country
I just
strong,
he's
fella.
Retarded, so.
I don't give a shit. Does he wear a football helmet in the field as well, like John Olerud does? Fucking hit that
money,
goddamn ball.
Here's money and young pussy. Just smash the ball as hard as you can.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny how they're still very competitive. After they got rid of all these people,
they're only four games out of the wild card.
Yeah, they're almost even just a smidge better, maybe, than when they had Beltran, Chapman, and Miller?
They've been a little lucky. They've won a lot of one-run games, but they're I think
and they should have been the next night. They won 1-0 against Toronto Monday and had a great pitcher's duel, and the next game they go out and blow a fucking 6-run lead.
Yeah, I saw that. That was painful. Like, their run differential suggests that they should be a below 500 team. I think they're actually scoring less runs than they're giving up.
Yeah.
But I'm very optimistic for this team. They might surprise people as soon as next year with that offense.
I think next year, well, I mean, it's also, once you kind of unload all that, there's no expectations to win, which I think just makes it easier to play and just...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the first time I can remember in my lifetime the Yankees, like, making smart moves and selling at the trade deadline.
Not since the mid-90s.
Before that, it was funny, I did a joke for like five people to Mike, who were all sport fan comics. I said, the last time the Yankees were sellers at the deadline, I was jerking off a virgin and playing Super Nintendo, and that was the last time. 1992.
Yep, I was 7.
Awesome.
Jesus Christ.
Back in the Jimmy Key years.
They got Jimmy Key.
Oh, okay.
93.
Oh, man, that was painful watching Mattingly not win it when I was
I was at game one of 95 playoffs. That was one of my top five games. And I cried like a bitch
it
when
was
they lost. That game five against Seattle?
The guy on ESPN, like when they zoom in at the kid and they're like, ah.
I think it was very acceptable.
No, I was fucking 20.
That whole team was crying on the way. But like, apparently, like, I think it was Paul New who talked about it. He's like, yeah, we felt like we all let Don Mattingly down. Like, they all wanted to win it for him. They were really dejected.
I know that. I've read every fucking... And it's funny when he won in... And they won in 96, the year after he retired.
And that was painful.
Well, he said he was watching at home, and when they caught the last out, he just turned off the TV and got up and took a walk.
Yeah.
Wow. 1 year away.
And then he was a manager on the Dodgers, which were contenders, and they still haven't...
Well, he interviewed for the Yankee job, but they didn't get it. You know why? Well,
yeah. I mean,
why?
I think because of Torrey, right?
No,
is that it?
No. Because of his fucking coked-up wife. Ex-wife.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. His coked-up ex-wife was a maniac.
Now
they also really wanted
Girardi.
She's like, I don't give a shit about that. Now the drama kicks in.
Girardi already had the inside track. They had him as a broadcaster when he was managing down in Florida. Like, they were really impressed with what he did with the Marlins during that time.
The 1 year he managed.
He had a real competition. But Girardi, I think, is a pretty good manager. He has been getting more flack recently. But I think for the most part...
I don't give him flack. It's a fucking team you put on the field.
Yeah.
These guys, old fucking guys who, I see. Yeah. These old fucking guys who are out there who are just past their prime, like Teixeira, done. Sabathia, done. A-Rod really is done.
Thank God.
Yeah, so let's go to that real fast. I know this is fucking old news or real old news, but A-Rod move. Agree? Disagree?
So, what exactly happened that he had to retire in August and couldn't play the rest of the season?
That's my point. I fucking hate him.
He gets
him.
The money anyway. They didn't
It's guaranteed. It's baseball.
I think the only advantage that they made a third base slot available. So I think Chase Headley and whatever their third base prospect gets those spots. So they made more room to actually develop the young players to get more major league experience.
But I'm going
to
fucking...
But the rosters open up in September.
That's my point. I was going to shun your point by just saying all they do is wait 2 more weeks until September 1st. And then becomes 40-man roster.
I think it's just that A-Rod is hated by the organization. He is fucking giving them a headache.
He tried suing him. What do you expect?
Everyone hates him because
he's
done a lot.
He's a complete twat.
I actually met some former interns of the Yankees. This was back in like the mid-2000s. That's so weird saying mid-2000s. But like mid to late 2000s. I remember meeting people. I think they were working for the Rays at the time. But they had interned for the Yankees. And they were like, yeah, A-Rod, fucking autistic dickhead, is kind of how they described it. Jeter, what came off as a great guy, he like memorized like everyone's names. It was insane. A-Rod and Clemens, all the youngins hated him, like both of them. Like, there's a reason. Like, he definitely gets a lot of shit for things that shouldn't be a big deal, or other players don't get as much flack for. But you know what the difference is? A-Rod's a fucking dick. When nobody likes you, they're gonna make a bigger deal out of those small things.
I actually ran into A-Rod last week.
Get the fuck out of here.
Columbus Circle is outside on the phone.
He's a big dude.
He's bigger than I thought. I'm like, I'm 6'2", but I'm like, he's like an inch or maybe or so taller. Yeah. But of course, he's well, hell of a lot
wider.
He's got
like 60 more pounds than you at least.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm on the phone, I'm looking, I'm like, that looks like fucking A-Rod. And he sees me like doing the wheel spin, like, this guy's trying to, I'm like, I go, Alex! He's like, yeah.
I love how you call him his first name that you went to school together.
Yeah.
Alex.
I'm like, Mr. Rodriguez, I'm fucking 30. We are the same age. I'm not going to call him Mr. anything. I'm 39, he's 39. I'm like, and he goes, hey, man. He was at that the tech woman that he's dating, like the billionaire. He's walking with her.
Oh, wait, who's he dating?
Some tech woman. You know, that's
remember when he dated Madonna?
Gross.
Yeah, that was gross.
And then Keith Hudson.
That dusty old bitch. Keith Hudson.
You know, for someone who was a way better player than Jeter was, and like,
his pussy resume sucks.
It's pretty disappointing, yeah. Like, you know, Mariah Carey was older than Jeter, but she was still fucking hot.
That was when Mariah Carey was Mariah Carey.
Yeah, she was still Mariah Carey.
Derek Jeter is on the Mount Rushmore of pussy. Let's just put that out there,
everybody. It's insane, yeah.
It is him. It is Clooney. It is DiCaprio.
Brady would have a better resume. And Brady, too. He would have a better resume, but he got married too soon. Yeah, married too soon, but...
Alec Baldwin, there you go.
I actually liked his first name better than Giselle. What's her face? I forget her name.
Oh, Moynihan.
I thought she was better looking than Giselle, but
I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
She's in Blue Bloods now.
I love how Brady got away with knocking her up, piecing out on her, and moving on to
you know why? Because he won two Super Bowls back to back when that happened.
Every other pro athlete, especially black ones, would get so much shit for that. And actually, like the one of the bigger journalists about race, I forget her name, she has an ESPN.
Jemele Hill
always like, screams race and everything, and she wrote in one of her own, she's like, I was talking to my friend how we give Tom Brady a free pass for this, but then she didn't say anything about it afterwards, and I'm like, you just undercut everything they bitch about.
They were together for like 3 years though, him and Bridget Monaghan, and it was like right at the end of their relationship that she got pregnant.
Yeah,
so that was like, I was like, that was, but they still take care of the other, like he sees.
I'm sure that kid is fine.
I follow Giselle on Instagram.
You are the Us Weekly of this podcast.
I knew I was going to take this seat, but but she sure, yeah.
That's why Antonio Cromartie is my hero. So
you know, listen, I'm gonna go a little old school on you. Sean Kemp leads the league now. Yeah. He always had like 15 kids, 15 moms, different moms.
That's gross, though. Yeah. Like that is that's a little gross. Like
I don't know. That's actually how I'd like to have kids. Is none of the response. If I could just have the money, and be like, here you go, get someone else to take care of it. I think I'd be okay with that. It's not that I hate kids. It's that I just got a dog, and
with obsessed you are with your dog.
I'm obsessive. I'm going to lose my fucking hair after just one kid. It's bad. I freak the fuck out. I'm walking my dog, and some drugged up homeless guy.
What kind of dog, by the way?
It's a Shiba Inu, and probably mixed with a beagle.
Doesn't she run a bringer show at Broadway Comedy Club?
I think Sahelnik made a roast joke about specifically that.
Like that? That was so gay.
I have a dog named Evan Weiss.
Oh, man. That's a fucking... right in the heart. One quick story about that. They had the Long Island Top 100 Comics.
Yeah.
And they had him on there, and it said Evan Weiss, the king of Bring. And he got so mad about that.
Oh, wait, where is this list?
It was one of those online. I forgot. Go Google like Long Island.
Some fucking blogger like wrote it or
something.
Yeah,
of course.
Who writes these lists, by the way?
People who spend more time writing about other comics
than writing jokes.
Actually doing. Okay, because I'm like, I don't know. So many lists come out, but.
How about Joe List? Ha!
Hey, he's very funny.
Yeah, he's good.
That's my favorite podcast ever, is him and Mark Normans. I could just listen to them for hours.
I thought the Safe Word podcast was your favorite podcast.
Sorry.
Maybe if they get Joe List.
Maybe
if
and Mark Norman.
Yeah.
No, they're both fucking brilliant. So baseball, the Yankees, we give ourselves a fighting shot. Really, next year, I'm going to go the conservative route. I'm going to say 2 years when they get Machado.
Yeah.
When they get Bryce Harper and maybe even Fernandez from Miami.
Love for Harper to be on the Yankees.
It is a foregone conclusion. Why don't we just jinx it right now? But they've been saying this for years. Even when he signed that deal in Washington, he's already sucked the Yankees' dick publicly. Like, oh, it'd be great to be a Yankee, dot, 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 dot.
He wants the biggest spotlight possible. And what better way to prove that you're the greatest of a generation than being the greatest on a team that puts the most pressure on
And him. Why they clear... Oh, why
and
they
also 314, like, fucking right field bleachers. Yeah, he's getting fucking 60 home runs.
And they're going to... And that's why they got all the money off the fucking books now. Like, well, we're ready.
There you go, kid.
Yeah. Here's a $400 or $500 million blank check for fucking 10 years.
Nats,
we'll see
you better fucking win now.
We'll see you in February, asshole. Yeah, exactly right. The Nats better win now.
They're paying too much.
They're gonna overpay.
It's ridiculous how much they get paid. In general.
I don't
think so. How expensive it is to go to a game.
She's 100% right.
To go to a game, it's expensive.
But it still is like $30 million for a year.
I think sports team owners are way more overpaid than any athlete because owners aren't even the best at what they do. I'm a Jets fan. We have one of the worst sports owners in history. We have Woody Johnson, who is basically the George W. Bush of fucking, like, sports teams. Just, it's pathetic.
George W. Bush owned the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, he was president.
Okay. Yeah, so he's fucking retarded. And there's no meritocracy with owners. At least if you're a pro athlete, you're the 0.01% of the rest of the fucking planet and what you do. So I'm okay if
and it could also be over out of nowhere.
Yeah, like even the shittiest player in like the majors or the NFL would run circles around any one of us, because that's how the elite of athletes they really are. Like the biggest busts are still like that much better than everyone else. And that's what's so amazing when you see a guy that's an elite at a sport where they're miles ahead of everyone else, because they're like 0.001%, and yet there's even a bigger canyon. It's insane.
I wonder why baseball players are still consistently the highest paid athletes when I don't think baseball draws in.
There's no salary cap for starters, and there's no salary.
And it's guaranteed.
Yeah, it's guaranteed money. Yeah,
because it's America's game, and why they more games for the most game, you get the most revenue that way.
There's 162 games. They don't get injured as much.
Yeah.
Baseball players?
They are injured.
They don't get injured as much.
That's not true. Versus what?
Baseball is more of a marathon.
It is a grind. That is exactly why. It's a grind.
And they're all full-blown alcoholics on their free.
Dude, Dykstra was telling us about how his greenies were just by the bushel.
What's a greenie?
Amphetamines.
Yeah.
Especially
when you're doing double headers, you play a fucking 7 o'clock game. You go to sleep, you have to wake up to play at 1 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock.
Well, forget that. Forget the fucking wear and tear of the travel. So let's say you've got a road game, you have a rainout date to make in Cleveland at 1, but you just finished up a West Coast swing playing in Seattle, 10 o'clock hour time, you get the game done 1 o'clock, then you have to fly cross country, check in your fucking hotel at 7 in the morning, have 4 hours of sleep. It's just like, that shit happens a lot.
I hate when people are like, oh, and they're just standing there for 3 hours in the afternoon. I'm like, well, first of all, most of you bitch about doing a retail job where you have to stand for 6 to 8 hours. Yeah, like, they have to stand there too, but they're doing it the whole season in the fucking heat, you know, like, and
it's wear and tear is ridiculous.
Yeah, it wears you down when you have to do it every day, and you're doing batting practice, you're running around at least a little bit. They're still doing more exercise than 99% of fucking Americans out there. It's ridiculous. So
Bartolo Colon may be a fat fuck, but I guarantee he can outrun 75% of the comics we know.
Yeah, he's definitely a better athlete than most people. You know,
able to outrun 75% of the comics.
Not saying much.
It's probably more like 95% of the comics, I would say.
Very true.
I have no faith in stand-up comics.
Comics aren't that big, though. Like, there's not a lot.
They're a lot of schlubby. They're not overweight. They're not overweight. They're more schlubby.
That makes sense. I could see
schlubby.
That.
Of course, the time we talk about male comics in shape, the guys' room are actually in relatively good shape. Usually, this is breaking the mold.
I guarantee you, like, overwhelming majority didn't even play like a varsity sport in high school. Like, I'm a fucking whelp, and I played varsity tennis, and that probably is still more than most comics out there. Like, it's insane. I'm horribly out of shape now, but I see comics and I'm like, how do you do what you do to yourselves? Like, and I'm
called Pokemon Go. Get off this.
I just see people sometimes where it's like, you know, you can just stop eating or go to the gym. I mean, I don't know. It's like it's the shitty fat shaming thing that everyone gets upset about. But like, I work my ass off to stay in shape,
right?
And I choose to do it. And I was like a naturally skinny kid, and then I started getting fatter, and I just like work around that and work my ass off. And it's like, I don't know. There's a part of me is like, I'm not special. How am I able to do this, but no one else is?
I think if you have real
dollar pizza, bro, that's how comics feed themselves.
If you have time-consuming responsibilities, I understand it a lot more. It's like, I go to work, I like walk my dog in the morning, I go to work, I walk her again, I go do mics,
and
then I go home. Yeah. Or really, before the dog, though, I was working like 10 to 12 hours a day when I started out doing stand-up, and I was like trapped in an office all day long. Sometimes I'd sneak out to go to the gym during work, but even then, like, I was killing myself. And so, if you see, like, there's comics who are married and have kids, like you, and, like, they still get their shit together. But I'm willing to cut them more slack than someone in their mid-20s who works at, like, as a fucking dog walker.
Right.
For, like, 20 hours a week. And you're getting free exercise, right?
I was just going to say, you're walking at least a mile or two a day.
If you just woke up and did, like, push-ups and sit-ups every morning, you'd be fine.
I do five or six different sets of, like, 40, 50 push-ups throughout the day.
The difference between fat shaming, there's a difference between someone being fat and unhealthy than being like, okay, I'm just making fun of you because you look a certain way. If you're unhealthy, then it's not okay to just be like, we accept everybody. If you're unhealthy, you're unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, someone shouldn't take up 2.5 seats on the subway. Yeah. Like, that's not fair. Like, that does piss me off a little bit. Like, that does, because it's like,
you're also a fire hazard.
Well, 1.5, I'm so upset.
You're taking up spots where I pay how much to ride the subway? How much do you pay? We all pay the same thing. But it's like, but you're taking up seats.
Oh, you take the subway?
Nothing makes me more nervous than an obese person or like a really fat person sitting next to an emergency exit, because then I know I'm fucked. Like, it's a simple.
Do you ever give the look to someone who's fat, and you, let's say you're sitting next to someone who's bigger and they're taking up the one spare seat next to you, and the fat person eyes that seat up, I just look back and look right there, look right in their eyes and just shake my head no, slowly.
That's my
no.
joke. If it don't fit, don't sit. Yeah. I've been saying that for a while.
And on that no, I can't think of a better way to go out than a Johnny Cochran-esque kind of quote. Teresa DiCatano, where can we find you besides the Yacht Club with me telling jokes tonight?
I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in Hartford on Wednesday doing some MC work, and then next Saturday at Gotham Comedy Club, 10:45 p.m.
Sweet.
Hosting up a storm.
Where can we find you on Twitter?
At Teresa DeGaetano, TeresaDeGaetano.
All right.
Yeah, that's harder than my fucking handle. And mine's four letters. Or I don't know.
Fossil Alam.
All right. I'm going to be at the New York City Crime Report show at New York Comedy Club.
Oh, sweet.
That's at 9:15. I sometimes pop up on that show. It's a great video podcast. I recommend it. Pat Dixon's a great comic. Then on Tuesday, I'm doing an audition at the Comic Strip Live. So that I think that's the late night show, but I'll be up immediately after that show for 3 minutes.
10 p.m. And it's at 10 p.m.
Yep. It's at 10 p.m.? Yeah. Oh, shit. Good thing you told me, because I was going to show up at 11.
No.
So that's an 8 o'clock show then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be at the end of the 8 o'clock show. Monday, I run a monthly show at the Skinny in the Lower East Side. It's called The F Word. I run it with Adam Gable and Russell
Morrison.
Oh,
yeah, a month ago.
We seat at 7:30. We start at 8. It's a free show. We just ask that you buy a drink. Definitely a fun show. More fun if you actually show the fuck up. So please come by. So,
where can we find you on Twitter?
Oh, at ALAM, my last name, 1159.
Okay.
When is this coming out?
Next week or two.
Next
weekend. I break up into two different parts.
Next weekend. Oh, okay. Then yeah, you just plugged everything you're doing tomorrow.
God damn it.
All right. Every Sunday night, I'm the host of Comedy Fight Club. Woo. It's head-to-head roasting. Local comedians step into the fighter's circle and say the most offensive, mean insults to each other. I'm the commissioner of Comedy Fight Club. And I also have on September 9th, I'm doing a summer showcase, and I just realized I don't have the information for where it is on my phone.
What a waste. All right.
Twitter and Instagram at RealMattMarin.
Were there a lot of Matt Marins pretending to be you?
So I did that as a joke when I first started, like, when I first got it, as like, yeah, but I'm never, like, I'm real because whatever. And then I actually started pursuing, like, stand-up, and now it's, like, way too arrogant for me. But, no, at first it was just a joke, and I guess, yeah, all the other Matt Marins out there, go fuck yourselves.
And yours truly, Kevin Goatee, GOOTEE, Kevin Goatee on Twitter. You like that, Teresa? Every time you fucking laugh. KevinGoatee.com. I will be in Long Beach Island next week, so don't bother looking for me anywhere in the city. And then I will be in Las Vegas, the Turning Stone Casino, September 9th. And then the Adrone Sports Bar and Grill, September 12th, also in Las Vegas. After that, who gives a shit? We'll have another podcast by then. Safe Word Podcast, at Safe Word PC. Tell a friend, and oh yeah, don't forget to keep your eyes opened. Comics Watching Comics, Episode 3 is coming out soon. We are editing right now. And that's it, kids. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Kevin Goatee with Teresa DiCatano.
Thank you so much.
And Faisal Alam and Matt Marin. Take care, guys. Thanks for hanging out. See you later.